God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, as we celebrate this day of Reformation, where we remember Martin Luther nailing 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, it's very appropriate to pick up John's Gospel, chapter 8, which is selected as our Gospel reading for today, where Jesus says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's interesting, when Jesus said these words, he got a reaction from the Jewish people. The reaction was probably a little bit different than we would imagine. Typically, if someone says, "You're being set free," your reaction would be, "Great, wonderful, I'm free." They, however, had a different reaction. Their reaction was, "We were never enslaved to begin with. We're Abraham's descendants. What do you mean that we were in slavery?" The actual text says, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone." I like that phrase, "never been slaves of anyone." The reason why I like that phrase, a smile comes to my eyes and says, oh, isn't denial great? Denial is the concept that the truth could be right before you, but you're not going to believe it. It could be sunny outside, but I'd be saying, it's really raining. I could say the lights are off and the lights are on. Denial is great. They answered, "We've never been slaves. Never." Gee, they didn't read their history very well. You remember Moses? Moses had to be called to lead the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. They were slaves then. And the funny thing is, right then and there, during this time period into the Jerusalem area, they weren't under their own government. They were being occupied by the Romans. I guess they had a different definition of slavery than we would have. If the foreign power occupied the United States right now, I bet a bunch of us would be saying, "We want our freedom back." But denial is powerful. Actually, the title of this text is Self-Enslavement, because Jesus has it right when he says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin." So today we're going to talk about self-enslavement. How do we enslave ourselves? Even though we live in the land of the free, I venture to say we're in slavery a lot more than we think we are. Yes, we may live in a free country where we have freedom of speech. We have various freedoms to do what we want to a certain extent. We can travel wherever we want for the most part. But I also will probably say we're enslaved. How can I say we're enslaved? Well, let me give you an example from my own life on how I am enslaved. It's interesting, being a homeowner, you have all these interesting little tasks to do. One of the more interesting little tasks I had to do was to cover all the vents. They had bird covers because birds and other critters could get into these vents. And we had a little problem with that, so the solution was you just go out and buy these little covers to go over the vent. Not a big deal. I had like about a half dozen vents to do. The first couple went on easy without any problem. But then it was the last one. You always know it's the last one. The last one really didn't present any special challenge in and of itself. It was the same concept. You screw a couple screws in there, you attach the vent, and it fits on perfectly. The challenge, however, for me was, it was on the second floor. There's nothing wrong with it being on the second floor, with the exception of, I'm afraid of heights. So there I am, I get the ladder out, and I say to myself, I can do this, I can do this, I know I can do this. Get the ladder out, and I climb up the ladder. And I'm about two steps from accomplishing my goal. And guess what? You can probably figure it out. Fear set in. I could see my goal, but my body wasn't moving toward the goal. And so there I am on the ladder, three quarters of the way up, and I'm having this interesting argument with myself, not verbally, internally, so don't think I don't talk to myself too many times, and saying, you know, this is ridiculous. What's stopping me from going two rings up on the ladder and accomplishing my goal and getting back down and saying I'm done? My fear was there, and my fear was stopping me. Another way of describing this, my fear was enslaving me. I was sort of stuck here. Now, being a good Christian and a parish pastor, you know, you might be saying, Pastor Bala, did you pray? And the answer was, you better believe I prayed. I prayed for strength. And then you may say, and after your prayer, did you get up and put the bird guard on? And the answer is no. You don't know how strong my sinful human nature is. It's pretty strong. Now, if you go by my house today, you will find that the bird guard is up. It took me a while, but eventually it got up. The point about this is we may be going through life all thinking that everything is going well. We might be thinking everything is going well until all of a sudden we get stuck. We get stopped at something. We may be asking ourselves, why are we stuck? Why are we stopped at something? This is so little and so insignificant. But to our human nature, we might be saying, this is big, this is huge. My fear of heights was huge. Think of it this way. Those eight-legged creatures during the fall like to come inside the house. Guess who's called upon, and I do it diligently, my task diligently, to get rid of them. That's my job. All of a sudden, the household stops when one of them is discovered. You know what I'm talking about. Little ones who now say they're afraid of the dark until you go in and check underneath the bed in the closet and reassure them that everything is fine. Your world stops until you get it checked out. Yes, there are various fears in our lives, and I don't want to go into too many more details, but you know your own fears. You know what stops you from living day to day. Our various fears and circumstances in life do that. But now here's our challenge, especially with that opening hymn that we sang, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. That fourth stanza on the second page says, and take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won, the kingdom's ours remaineth. Would we really be able to sing that song with all those words if something happened to take away our goods, our reputation, our family? Could we still sing joyfully to God? I venture to say that if our sinful nature kicks in, if these things were starting to be crumbling away from us, we might be raising our hands up to God and saying, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why is this devastation coming into our lives? But the hymn writer, Martin Luther, got it correct. His point is, even if they take that away, there's one thing they cannot take away, and that is the faith you have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's this truth that will set us free from sin, death, and the devil. And not only does it set us free from sin, death, and the devil, it helps us in the priorities system to say what's really important for those things in this world that cause us to trip and fall. Let me explain it this way. Those things that stop us in life, we have to ask, why are they stopping us? Why can't I get past that? Usually we can't get past that because of our sinful human nature. Let me illustrate it this way. If someone sins against you, is your first reaction to say to them, that's okay, you're forgiven? Or is your first reaction saying, no, I'm going to hold it against you. I'm going to hold it against you until certain satisfaction is made. What are we doing? We are withholding forgiveness until we feel it's ready that we can say, I forgive you. Until our sinful human nature is appeased. And don't worry, we all do this. We all fall short of God's glory here. We're not very readily, easily to forgive somebody. It's interesting to note when people drive in traffic and some people are driving not appropriately. It's interesting to note sometimes hand gestures go up here and there or horns beep here and there. I don't know if they're really practicing the act of forgiveness at that point. Or if there is ever forgiveness for them. But what can I say is that through Christ, there is forgiveness. And as the Christian, we should be ready to share that forgiveness that God gives to us with those around us without any hesitation. The problem comes in and our sinful nature says, I want to make satisfaction. Again, what's tripping us up in that life of ours? We see a wrong and we want justice. We see someone misbehaving and taking it out on us, and we want satisfaction. Be careful, dear Christians, that our Lord doesn't apply the same thing to you. But He does. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through His death on the resurrection from the cross, He defeats sin, death, and the devil. So even though we have sinned, we fall short of God's glory, God the Father takes his wrath and punishes Jesus instead of us. That's the glorious good news. That is the good news worth fighting for. That is the freedom that Jesus speaks about in our text. This truth will set you free. The problem, as the Reformation brought up, is that what happens when someone wants to hold that forgiveness of sins hostage? In the church, Martin Luther said this is wrong. No one should be able to hold that forgiveness of sins hostage for money, for you to do certain works, for you to, quote-unquote, make satisfaction to God the Father. Yes, we sin. Yes, we fall short of God's glory. And God the Father took his wrath and poured it upon Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who could say to God the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And be correct. We cannot. Because we bear the name of Jesus, God is always with us. We have to ask ourselves, what's really important? Our human sinful nature says, my satisfaction is important when someone does an injustice to me. And the church started picking up on that concept. It's a human concept. Church is made up of human beings, no wonder. The church said, hey, you know, this would be a good fundraising thing. We got all these people out there that sin. Let's just say for the forgiveness of sins, you got to cough up some money here. Or for the forgiveness of sins, you got to do that. Or you have to do this. It's a great way of getting the people to do things. But it's holding Jesus Christ hostage. So we go back to the cross. Go back to the message of the Reformation that Martin Luther was trying to say is we don't hold Jesus hostage. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. You can't take anything away from that. You didn't die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, your own sins, let alone the sins for other people. Only Jesus did. We have to put down our human nature and say, yes, Lord, I have sinned. I need your forgiveness. This is why Jesus says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth of the freedom that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. Putting that in perspective in our lives should have a very freeing concept. Not only for our soul, knowing that, yes, we'll be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above, but also for anything else in life that causes us to trip and fall. Anything else in life that causes us to stumble. When I'm up there on the ladder and I was fretting about my fear of heights, yes, part of that discussion it was saying, come on, how important is this? What's the worst thing that could happen to me? Yeah, I'd fall off the ladder, maybe I'd break a bone or two, but my faith won't be taken away. Maybe I'd be in a little bit of pain, but my faith won't be taken away. What's the most important thing? Now, I don't want to dismiss it that quickly, because if you'd ask me to go up there and do the same thing again, to put an extra screw in there to secure it during these high wind days, I'd have a little bit of hesitancy. That fear would come up. It shows you how strong and powerful our human nature is. And in case if I haven't gotten to that within you yet, let me use one more illustration to show you how strong and powerful our human nature really is. As Christians, we know how wonderful it is to believe and trust in the Savior who dies for our sins, who bears that weight of the punishment for our sins. That is the good news. But how quick are we to share that good news? How quick are we to have that good news roll off our lips and to tell someone who is struggling that, yes, God loves them, that God died for them, God forgives them their sins? Very often when it comes to what we call testifying or speaking our faith, our human sinful nature creeps in very quickly and says, that's not politically correct. Well, how dare we do this? We may offend somebody. That's how strong our sinful nature is. Now, what does God do? As Christians, he has charged us to proclaim the gospel message, to go to all the nations, to teach people. But yet our sinful nature says, I can't do this. Does God say, well, then shame on you? The answer is no. God says, I still love you. you still have forgiveness. That is what the truth is all about. Unfortunately, when people try to shame us into doing things, we're doing them then for the wrong reason. Case in point, why do Christians gather and share their gifts and abilities with others around? Why do we collect an offering? It's not to merit the forgiveness of sins, but to say thank you to God. Even in the midst of my own sinfulness, God still loves me. Even in the midst of my own stubbornness, God still sets me free. Even in the midst of getting stuck in various valleys in life, God says, I love you. I will help you through the various valleys. Even in the midst of being enslaved to our own sinfulness, God says, I will set you free and make you sons and daughters of God. This is why we give our great praise and thanks to God. This is why we collect our offerings. We have to do the work of the church by keeping the building going and getting that word out. We have wonderful opportunities here in West Chicago through our early childhood care programs and through our community of believers here at Trinity to share this word of God, to encourage one another in the faith. And this all takes work. Not only volunteers, leaders, but also gifts and abilities from those around. So this day, we remember the Reformation. We remember Martin Luther nailing 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg. We remember and how Luther reminded us and how important it is to have the forgiveness of sins. And when someone tries to hold us hostage to that, we sit there with Martin Luther and what Scripture says, going back to Christ's words, that we have been set free. So this day we give our praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we have this freedom, the freedom in which Christ has proclaimed and given to us by his death and his resurrection. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.